We come now to an examination of the commission given by the Lord, a record of which we have by Matthew in the following words. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. This is truly an important text and well deserves our most serious consideration. John's mission was confined to the Jews, and so was that of the 12 and the 70 prior to the death of Jesus. Now he claims all authority in heaven and on earth, and for the first time authorizes the baptism of Gentiles. His language, then, must be regarded as the organic law of this divine institution, and not as a merely incidental allusion to the subject. It not only furnishes authority for baptizing all nations, but gives the only formula contained in the Holy Writ in which the sacred rite is to be administered. The word teach occurs twice in the passage and is from different Greek words, a circumstance which has given rise to much speculation on the subject to very little profit. It is insisted that matetelsate, rendered teaching, means to make disciples. And suppose it does. What is a disciple? A student or learner? And could there be such a thing as a student without teaching? Where there is a student, there must be something to study. Hence, the obvious import of the passage is, teach first the elementary principles of the gospel, so that the people may believe in Jesus as the Son of God and Savior of man. Then baptize them into the sacred names of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then further teach them how to live the Christian life. Mr. Baxter says, "Go disciple me all nations, baptizing them." As for those who say they are discipled by baptizing, and not before baptizing, they speak not the sense of that text, or that which is true or rational, if they mean it absolutely as so spoken. This is not a mere occasional or historical mention of baptism, but it is the very commission of Christ to his apostles for preaching and baptizing, and purposely expresseth their several works in their several places and order. Their first task is, by teaching, to make disciples, which are by Mark called believers. The second work is to baptize them, whereto is annexed the promise of their salvation. The third work is to teach them all other things which are afterward to be learned in the school of Christ. To condemn this order is to renounce all rules of order, for where can we expect to find it if not here? Booth Abridged, page 202. Brugansis says, "Christ commanded first to teach the nations that are strangers to God and the truth. Afterward, when they have submitted to the truth, to teach them those precepts and rules of life which are worthy of God and the truth. The order here observed," says Jerome, "is excellent. He commands the apostles first to teach all nations, then to dip them with the sacrament of faith, and then to show them how they should behave themselves after their faith in baptism. Before baptism, they are to be taught the truth of the gospel, especially the matters of faith. After baptism, they are to be instructed in the Christian morals and what concerns their practice." Booth Abridged, pages 203 and 204. These statements made by pedobaptists we will regard as so obviously correct that further comment is unnecessary. We will regard this as the settled meaning of the text and make our deductions accordingly. It is claimed that as infants compose a part of all nations, they are included in the command to teach and baptize all nations. Will those who make the argument stand by the same rule throughout? The veriest infidel that lives is a part of all nations. Should he be baptized for that reason? Insane persons belong to all nations. Should they therefore be baptized? If infants should be baptized because they are a part of all nations, then there is not an atheist or an infidel which may not be baptized for the same reason. The phrase "all nations" often occurs in the Scriptures where only a class is embraced in it. The word "ethne," rendered "nations," occurs about 80 times in the New Testament, where the context clearly shows that infants are not included. There are no less than 8 such passages in Matthew's Gospel. We will give a few New Testament examples. "Ye shall be hated of all nations," Matthew 24 and verse 9. "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations," verse 14. "My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer," Mark 11, 17. "Made known to all nations for the obedience of faith," Romans 16, 26. Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of her fornication. Revelation 14, verse 8. All nations shall come and worship before thee. Revelation 15, verse 9. By thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Revelation 18, verse 23. Similar examples may be found in the Old Testament. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Zechariah 14, verse 2. Surely we are not to understand by this that all the infants, insane persons, and old women of all nations were to enter the army of Titus to fight against Jerusalem. These quotations need only be carefully read to see that in every instance infants were excluded, though the phrase all nations was used. Then why should the same words necessarily include them in the commission? We think they are just as clearly excluded by the context as they are in either of the texts quoted above. Go teach all nations, baptizing them. Infants nor insane persons are subjects of gospel address and cannot be taught the gospel. Hence, if the Lord required the apostles to teach such the gospel, he simply required of them an impossibility. But worse still, if infants are included in the commission, then it follows that they must all be lost. Mark records the commission thus, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16 and verse 16. Infants cannot believe the gospel. Hence, if the commission includes them, they must all be damned. The language of Mark is even more comprehensive than that of Matthew. He says, Teach all nations. Mark says, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Surely then, if the phrase all nations includes infants, then every creature in all the world would nonetheless include them. And if so, they cannot believe. And as those who believe not must be damned, we see no chance for the salvation of one of them, according to the Pedobaptist argument based on the commission. Again, the language of the commission makes faith a necessary antecedent to baptism. Teach the nations, baptizing them. He that believeth and is baptized. Here the inference is clear that unbelievers are not to be baptized. Nay, a want of faith is sufficient to bar anyone from the sacred rite. Infants cannot believe, and therefore cannot be scripturally baptized under this commission. More of this directly. But we are now ready to make a little advance in the argument. Having seen that the commission does not authorize infant baptism, we respectfully suggest that it very clearly forbids the practice. When God gave specific directions for doing anything, it was a clear violation of law to do it otherwise. When God commanded Noah to build an ark of gopher wood, Genesis 6, verse 14, it clearly implied a prohibition to make it of cedar wood. And had he made it of cedar, it would have been as clear a violation of God's law as though he had not made it at all. When God commanded Moses to make a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole in the midst of the camps of Israel, Numbers 21, verse 9, it implied a prohibition to hang up a brazen pot in the camp. When God commanded a Jew to kill a red heifer, he dare not kill a black one because it would have been a clear violation of the law. When God commanded a Jew to offer a ewe lamb of the first year, he dare not offer a male or an old sheep. When God commanded the apostles to teach the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he clearly implied that they were not to baptize into other names, and were anyone to baptize into the names of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he would be regarded as an impious violator of God's holy law. Then when the Lord told the apostles to teach all nations, baptizing them, the taught, the language as clearly implied that they were to baptize none others, as did the command to build the ark of gopher wood imply that he was not to make it of cedar wood. Hence, it is just as clear a violation of the commission to baptize an untaught infant as though the Lord had expressly forbidden it.